Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Khatun.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has really brought into sharp focus the long-standing gaps and weaknesses in our education system. But as we reopen schools after many weeks of being shuttered, have there been missed opportunities, opportunities not taken? To reform our publicly funded education system, as the maxim goes, to build back better. So our guest today is Simparangam MP Mazli Malik, who recently published his account of the 20 months he was education minister and the lessons that were learned about the process of implementing education reform, as well as the real challenges that come with that. Mazli, welcome to the show. It's really good of you to join us today. And congratulations on publishing Memori Bukan Memoir. Congratulations on the book.
Hello, hi Melissa. Hi Sharad. Thank you very much, Melissa.
Right. So, of course, as an independent MP, we also want to tap you for what's happening in the political scene and where you see the trajectory of the country. But let's focus our conversation first, Mazli, on this book. Very curious to know why you named it Memori Bukan Memoir. And also, why now? I mean, I'm just wondering who this book was for, because it was really about your time as education minister. So what was it that you hoped to achieve by writing and publishing this book?
Okay, thank you, Melissa. I perhaps there were two questions that you imposed to me. Number one, why Memori Bukan Memoir? I'm having the book with me now. Oh, but wow, it's not really clear. Ah, yeah,
Yes, I
apparently
see
not.
it.
So, why the name? I think memories is all about memories in the Ministry of Education, with all the facts, with all the data. You could see all the letters, all the memos, and all sorts of diagrams in there. And it's not a memoir, because normally people write memoir just because they have ended their journey. So they're lamenting back, they're retrospecting back whatever they have gone through. But for me, it's only the beginning, and I want to start a new culture in Malaysian politics, as well in Malaysian let me say cultural life, that any politicians, any ministers should write down whatever they have gone through and should share with the community, with the nation, their vision and their dreams for the country. And it all must be recorded. So coming back to your second question, to whom it's dedicated, it's dedicated for my fellow beloved Malaysians, for our future generation. So I want it to be a historical document for everybody to know that there was an attempt for an educational reform. There was an attempt of a serious education reform that had been taken place in a very brief, short period of 20 months. And we have started, but unfortunately, most of them have been stopped or abandoned, but still, few of them are still being continued. So it's my gift to the nation. It's my gift to a better Malaysia in the future.
Mazli, I agree with you. I think politicians, I think everybody really should reflect on their work and put it out in the public realm so that it becomes, a kind of collective learning process, right? And I remember interviewing you as minister, and you were very cautious about, speaking critically of your stakeholders, main stakeholders, meaning the civil service. When I asked you questions around resistance to change, and I wonder
I
if,
was very cautious in answering your question then.
yes, you were, and I
Especially
imagine,
Melissa's.
I think, even today, because if you return as Minister of Education or member of the next government or the succeeding government, you will have to work with people in the ministry, the bureaucracy and civil service. How honest can someone like you, how honest can your memoirs or your memories be when dealing with a hot potato like education and education reform?
I think the best is for you to read the book. I've been honest enough to share everything under the table, on the table, everywhere, apart from, you know, some unnecessary things. But to be honest with you, there were few things that are mentioned in the book that has caused a storm in a teacup, but not that storm. But few people are not very happy with it. But
are you talking about the black shoe controversy?
No. I didn't even talk about it because I don't see it worth enough to be mentioned as part of the journey that we have gone through in that 20 months, you know, rather than talking about that small, but yet the effect on the families and on the parents, especially moms, was very big. But again, we have a lot of other big things to be dealt with. I mean, you're talking about big data, the STEM program that we introduced, I mean, the academic freedom, not only for the faculties or the academics, but also for the students, and all the attempts that we have started, you know, in uplifting the quality of our teachers and schools, and also the curriculum.
Yeah. I mean, you did accomplish, you know, some things you set out to do in your 20 months as education minister. But I do want to come back to that black shoe controversy, because, and I don't mean to harp on this, but I want perhaps to understand where you your reflections on this. Why do you think the public latched on to that so much? It was, as you said, a minor issue, but why?
Yeah, I think this nearly 500 pages book could furnish Malaysians that the 20 months is more than the black shoes. I mean, we need to understand the education reform has been initiated and has started in that 20 months. But unfortunately, I don't want to blame anybody, but most people, they like to pick up on certain unnecessary and light things, sensationalized things. But I couldn't blame them. Rather than blaming them, I came up with this nearly 500 pages book in order to educate our fellow Malaysians and our media people that, you know, education is more than black shoes.
Okay, and so Mazen, I'm glad you mentioned the media, because you know, some people will say that in fact the media was quite hostile to the Pakatan Harapan government. Much of the media was owned by allies of the, you know, the losing coalition, the Barisan National Coalition, and they continue to be in to express the agenda of that, of the former, you know, sort of power brokers.
But also, Sharad, to be fair with everybody, I would say that most of the media, they were overwhelmed with the magnitude of freedom that been given to them then, and some of them, they were not really used to it, and they thought that, okay, it's a free blank check, you can do anything. And, you know, we learned the price of freedom, and they also learned the price of freedom, and they only appreciate that when they lost it in the last 18 months that we have gone through. Yeah.
Chira, did you want to continue with your question?
No. That was a perfect answer. I thought you were going to
Okay. All right. Then I do want to come to the question about communicating the complexities of policymaking and reform in the education system. I know you, you know, part of your education strategy when you were minister was really to impose a values-based education. You talked a lot about happiness and well-being and improving that quality across the system, leaving no one behind. I'm just wondering whether you felt that reform was far more complex than what you anticipated, than what has been communicated to the public, and therefore it took much longer to implement the big necessary reforms that the public was so impatient for when you know, Pakatan Harapan came to power on the back of their manifesto of reform.
Yes, indeed, Melissa. I think you have mentioned them all. I mean, when I first came into the office, because of my previous background, I was an academic, and I was an activist as well. So we thought that, okay, we are in, we want to change everything without knowing that the level of intricacy of changing things when you are in the system. We were outside the system, we were criticizing. I mean, when we step in, then we started to learn about the complexity of our bureaucratic system. Sharad mentioned it earlier, and our delivery system, and communication. Yes, Melissa, I still remember when you did ask me what did I learn throughout. One of my major failures was on communication. Yes, I have to admit that. I have to admit that, and I learned a lot of things from it. And that's one thing. And another thing, the politics inside it, the politics and politicking. You know, we try to avoid, we try to take away education from politics, but the reality of our beloved country, it's not that easy. You know, everything has been politicized. You talk about not only education, but economy, our social fabric, our social relation, and everything been heavily politicized. And worse, the racial sentiment comes in. So to juggle with all these things, you know, you need to balance between your ideals and the reality. You need to balance between whatever good you think you wanted to bring and to make people, the stakeholders and the shareholders, understand what you really want and why it is good, not only for yourself, for your government, but also for the nation and for them and for their children. It's quite challenging. I still remember when I had a lunch meeting with Professor Terence Gomez. That was towards the end of 2019. He was very vocal towards the government, despite being appointed by MOE to certain certain tasks. But he was very vocal, especially towards our inability to accomplish all this administration reform, governance reform. So I shared with him. I told him that, you know, it will take more than a year to get the civil servants, the bureaucrats to really understand what we aspire for. You know, they have been there longer than us, and definitely they've got used to certain things and the way things been run. But, you know, we came as a new kids on the block, and we wanted to change everything. And not only that, we want to push them beyond their comfort zone. So it is not that easy, but we learn a lot. At least for myself, I learn a lot, and the best teacher is your mistakes.
That's true. We're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this conversation. Still quite a lot to cover on the issue of education reform, as well as the political temperature of this country. We're going to continue our conversation with Mazi Malik in just a couple of minutes. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Consider This. Hello, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Simpang Ranggam MP Mazli Malik. He has just published a book called Memory Book and Memoir by his time as Education Minister. We understand that an English version will be released in a couple of months. Mazli, I want to come back to the reforms. So this book was really a reflection of your successes, also your failures and the challenges. And I want to talk about the policies that you managed to implement and whether those policies, you're keeping track of those policies. Have they been reversed? Are you seeing a policy reversal after you've left office? And does that upset you, or is that just the nature of the game, you know, nature of changing ministers?
Thank you, Melissa, for the question. I think it's not about me and myself. It's not about me and what I've written, what I'm trying to do. But it's about the nation. What is the best for the nation? So honestly, when we talk about things that I've written in this book, why I call it, it's not a memoir, because it's not about myself. It's not about me. It's about the nation. It's about the future of the nation. It's about the educational system that we wanted Malaysia to have. And I mean, the very dream that we all were having and still having is for Malaysia to be more than what it is now. So most of the things, yeah, you said that some of the policies that we have managed to accomplish, or we managed to start it with, but unfortunately, the...
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I thought was quite interesting that I didn't know when you were in office was that you had intended to address sexual harassment in schools.
Yes, yes.
That was one of the things that you were looking at.
Yes,
and I had no idea. I mean, that was not kind of communicated to the public. Maybe you can use that as an example of a reform that you wanted to, that you started and you wanted to implement, but never quite achieved.
Yeah, yeah. It's again, it's not about me, Melissa. You said, what was I? Did I feel sad? Did I feel, you know, disgruntled? I mean, it's not about me. It's about the nation. Just like I mentioned earlier. I mean, we tried to put everything in order. We have started with a lot of initiatives for the best of the nation. But when they stop doing it, I think the one they're going to lose is the country.
Yeah, Masi, I had this thought, right? I mean, a lot of people assume that going forward, Malaysian politics is going to be much more fragmented. I mean, the political parties, the coalition building, the capacity for politics of that sort to have a coherent policy agenda and that can be carried through within the terms of the electoral cycle. Do you think that something like education is far too important to be held ransom by politics? In the sense that, should we somehow strive to take policy making around education, which is all about social mobility, about the future of work, about, you know, the aspirations that the next generation have for themselves, take that out somehow, insulated from the politicking that we're likely to experience over the next few electoral cycles? Is there any way to bring policy making into a space that can be much more, less sensitive to the vagaries of politics?
Yes, that's precisely. Sharad, I think that's the dream of all of us. The dream of all the people. We really want education to be taken out from all these politickings, political agenda, and politicians. But the reality in Malaysia is very unfortunate. You can see that the level of inconsistency of the education policy that was resulted of a long inherited, I don't want to use the word corrupted, but not perfect system that we have, has caused that a lot. But one thing, yes, you pointed out a very pertinent question. It can be done at least at the higher education level. This is where I keep demanding the government to re-establish, or at least to continue our effort that we have started to re-establish the Majlis Pendidikan Tinggi Negara Council, the Council for National Higher Education, in which those who got involved in setting up all these policies and all these things related to higher education institutions are the professionals, the academics, the intellectuals, and they have, their own sanctuary. I mean, which is the case of most higher learning institutions in developed countries. We have started that. And actually, we already have a law for that, Act 546. You can read in this book, I mentioned that. And we have initiated it. But unfortunately, after the government changed, they did not continue with that effort. And nobody knows what happened to that council. I keep asking them in the parliament, but there was no answer. And that's how things work in Malaysia. That's very unfortunate. But coming back to myself, you did ask me, being an independent, and how do I look? I think what I'm trying to do, I'm not sure whether you did notice or everybody else did notice, I'm still struggling to convince myself that I'm a politician now. Because some of them, I still remember when I left the Dewan Rakyat, a few veteran politicians, or let me say the old school politicians, they came to me and said that, I think you're more to a lecturer than a politician. Okay, wherever I am, I'm trying to bring a new political culture, policy advocacy, and also service politics. This is where
are you reconsidering your future in politics? Is this something?
No, not really. What I'm trying to say, Melissa, is I'm trying to bring a new culture to politics, rather than, you know, having a very partisan, heavily politicizing issues. I think I'm consistent. I'm really focused on education. I'm really advocating education and policies that will bring our education to the next level. So this is where you always listen little from me about politics and more about education.
Yeah, Muslim, you know, I think we all think there's a slight danger in far too many career politicians, men and women who don't have another job to go to, so they can, you know, they never want to resign or let go of power. It's great to know that there's some professionals in a parliament. I do want to ask you, though, because the nature of politics today is that, you know, party politics is the vehicle to get into power. And, you know, at the education ministry, because of its huge budget, I mean, not much bang for that buck, but never mind, it's a huge budget, is a prized possession for you know, career politicians. How do we change that? I mean, your the fact that you were nominated to the education ministry is quite interesting in for Pakatan. But subsequently, do you think we will revert back to the culture of, you know, giving ministries away as rewards for political loyalty, which will, you know, will affect education reform in the future?
Yeah, I strongly agree with you, Sharad. We should take away education from the politicians. And we did that, actually. In the early 2000s, we had Tan Sri Musa Muhammad as our Minister of Education. And he was not even an MP. And he was not even involved in any party politics. And if you look at countries, I mean, not far away, even Indonesia, our neighbor, they appointed a non-politician to become their Minister of Education, Nadiem Makarim. A well-known businessman, I mean, to become. And why not? Why not Malaysia? We should, I mean, get away from this idea of, you know, putting the Minister of Education in the hands of politicians. I mean, this is where, but again, as for myself, I think wherever I am, as an MP, as a minister, wherever I was put or I choose to be, whether in a party or outside the party, is all about education. And my very vision for politics is to improve the condition of our nation education. And if I manage to do that, I manage to accomplish that, I would go to something else then. But at the moment, we're not there yet.
Okay, well, in the last few minutes that we have left, I do want us to maybe take a moment to reflect on the past 1.5 years or more than 18 months or so that schools have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, specifically K-12. I mean, do you think that there were things in maybe difficult choices, difficult decisions that we did not make correctly or missed particularly, and therefore impacting the learning outcomes of our children?
Yeah. The biggest thing that they did not do is to embrace everybody in coming up for a better exit plan and for a better long-term plan for education. That's number one. And number two, it seems that Fortunately, the government never learned from other countries and never learned from their mistakes. You know, it has been 18 months and nothing has changed. So this is where I keep pushing for the long-term plan for education and exit plan for education. But until today, we haven't heard anything from them. And as a result, I have to come up with my own. If you notice, in the parliament, I did come up with my own policy statement, which actually a proposal, an exit and long-term proposal for nation education.
Right. And you are for a reopening of schools come October 3rd?
No, it's not about for the reopening of school, no, but how, what is the method being used for reopening the school or for something else to happen? And we couldn't see a proper method being used here. What more about science and data? This is where I keep pushing them to establish the Council for National Education Recovery.
Okay. All right. Well, Mansley, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate your time. That
Done.
was, yes, that was our that was our conversation with former Education Minister Mansley Malay, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. Don't forget to get the latest news on COVID-19 vaccines on astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night. We'll